Hey there, if you are ready to build your service-based business from scratch and ditch your 9-to-5, then I want you to head on over to shedidithowaypodcast.com/leap and download my free Ultimate Leap Checklist and Starter Kit. Again, you can head to shedidithowaypodcast.com/leap to download my Ultimate Leap Checklist and Starter Kit to get started on building your service-based business and ditching your 9-to-5. Hello and welcome to She Did It Her Way, a podcast dedicated to helping you launch a business that allows you the freedom to create from anywhere, design your own schedule in a way that supports you, and pursue what it is that lights you up. I'm Amanda Boleyn, your host, and it is time to do it your way. Now on to today's podcast episode. I'm welcoming Maddie Reitz, and Maddie Reitz is the founder and chief creative officer at IMA and is responsible for advising clients on strategy when it comes to working with influencers and talent while keeping the match of influencers and aesthetics quality of creative in mind. And throughout her career, she has secured many partnerships, developed concepts for leading brands, including Tommy Hilfiger, Calvin Klein, Samsung, TomTom, and Farfetch, along with many more. In this episode, we're going to talk about Maddie's background before she entered entrepreneurship, discover how the first 12 months were and went for her business, how she has scaled to over 200 plus employees. I love this part because she provides such great insight on how to manage an international global company and find out where she has grown the most with her entrepreneurial experience and what's been the toughest decision she's had to make with her business. One of my favorite themes throughout this interview in quotes is that Maddie says that running the business and managing people, that is the most of the learning I went through and I'm still going through it. It's not something you can do right at once. Just do it. Trial and error, learning by doing is so important. And I couldn't agree more. So without further ado, we have Miss Maddie Reitz. Hello, hello, She Did It Her Way listeners. Welcome back. We're hanging out with another episode and another fantastic guest today, Maddie Reitz from the IM agency. And she's going to talk about how she's built her influencer agency and how her and her business partner kicked it off from the ground. And I'm super excited for her to share us the story on how they got started. So Maddie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Yeah, very. I mean, just I would love, like, when I was on your site and I was looking at what you guys are doing and how you've built your company, I'm really, really looking forward to diving in. I would love for you to take us back to the life of what life was like before you guys launched your business.
Yeah. Well, we launched our business in 2010, and it's kind of a spin-off from a different company that we were working at. And before that, Emily and I, so my business partner, who I founded the company with together, we were basically just doing other things in the marketing industry. And myself, even I was still at school. I was finishing up my fashion and branding studies at college or at university, and got really interested in everything that was happening back then in like the blogger industry and everything around that. And that was life before our business.
Yeah. So how did you guys come together and brainstorm this business that you guys have now today?
So Emily and I met each other at fashionista.com. That was a fashion website or platform. You can compare it to like a Pinterest for fashion, where you could sort of shop all your favorite items and keep them in one basket. And Emily and I were both working for that at that point, where Emily was more focusing on the brand partnerships and the commercializing of the platform. And my role was really to build that network of back then bloggers, fashion bloggers, to create partnerships with to launch that platform that we were working on. And we saw how quickly that was expanding, and how we launched our platform solely with influencer marketing back in the days, like over 10 years ago. And then Emily and I started looking at each other and we're like, there's something here, you know, we need to jump on this. And all the brands that we speak to want to work with this as well, and they don't know how. So why don't we start an agency to sort of become the middleman between brands and all of those influencers and bloggers and see what happens. And that's basically how we started, very, very small.
Yeah. So talk to us then about the early days when you guys just started. So you guys started working together through fashionista.com. You realized there was an opportunity. And then in 2010, you launched the current business that you're running today. So that's 8 years ago. How has it take us back to the first 12 months of the business and getting it off the ground and working with people? Take us back to that moment.
I mean, it's completely different than what we're doing today. I mean, now we almost have 100 people. So now we're truly, you know, managing a business. Back then, you're basically doing everything yourself. And what was the most important thing for us to focus on is explaining to brands what influencer marketing even was and how it, you know, how it worked. Because right now it's something like, it's super hot topic. Everybody does it. Everybody knows about it. But in 2010, people didn't. And especially marketeers were like, why should I invest in this? And who are you two young girls coming to pitch for my, from this agency, you know? So basically we just had to work really, really hard and really make super nice decks showcasing what we believed in and just knocking on doors with all sorts of brands to get our way in.
Mm-hmm. So then from a business model standpoint, you guys, you said before that you're sort of this middleman who connects brands with influencers. So from a strategy standpoint, do you have people working on both ends to acquire more brands and then to acquire more influencers? And then how does that work?
So IMA's proposition is really on the client's end. So we are fully client focused, where we, for example, get a briefing in, and like any other marketing briefing, we would get a briefing in, but then specifically focus on influencer marketing. Most of the time that's global or multi-market. And then we have our team working on a proposal for that, and that indeed includes everything from strategy to creative concept to what kind of influencers we advise to work with, to full execution, production, and reporting. So it's super full service in this influencer marketing industry, and with a white glove approach. So we look at every different briefing in itself and then tailor towards the objectives of a brand. Of course, we also need the influencers on the other end, and they're sort of our medium in which we tell our brand stories. So we also have a full team that's basically daily scouting new influencers, giving them quality scores and rating them according to the criteria that we look at, looking at data. But we don't represent any talent, because we want to be able to make the right match at all points, so in any case possible. And sometimes you get such specific niche requests or for a specific market, and then our job is really to find like that specific housewife who just, you know, changed her job into something new or made a career move. So it can be so specific that we really believe in an open network.
Oh yeah. I was under the impression that I would have assumed that it would have been that you would keep also this database of influencer marketing that were under your house, but it totally makes sense in terms of the approach that you're saying and how the client is the focus. And then based on the client strategy is how you select the influencers that you work with.
Yeah.
I would love. Oh yeah, go ahead.
We have over 35,000 influencers, so imagine managing all of those on a daily basis. You would go crazy.
That's so many. Oh my gosh. How did you guys? When did you hire your first employee? I know you mentioned that you're almost up to 100 employees now, just in 8 years. Talk to us about that experience in scaling in terms of the talent.
Well, like I said, we were already working at the platform, and then we started with the agency being a spin-off from that. So we basically one by one took employees from there. And at one point the agency was doing much better than the platform itself. And that's how we launched IMA eventually on the bigger scale. But we didn't like really consciously did our first hire. I mean, Emily and I basically just started with the two of us, and then we sort of loaned people from the other company that we were also still in, and then it just started from there. And as soon as you show results and you get business in, that is when we started making actual hires for the agency. And the first hires were mainly brand partnerships managers, so people who could help us grow the business, because that's obviously always where it all starts.
Mm-hmm. How has your personal day-to-day from, what does your day-to-day look like now?
Well, it's very different. It's very dynamic every day. I mean, I'm in New York now, for example, for 2 weeks, because we recently opened up our offices here as well. We have now a full team of 6 people running the office here. So I spend some time here, but also traveling around the world, meeting clients, meeting potential new hires, doing speaker opportunities. So it's very, very diverse. And next to that, when I'm in the office or at the headquarters, I spend my day in between interviews, working on business development. So we're helping the team in creating the best possible strategies for our brands. So I still work sometimes on client side, then really working with all the senior peoples in the team to make sure there's a good workflow, marketing for IMAs, for really being a top leadership in this space. So there's a lot of different things that we focus on, but above all, it's really the growth of IMA and the strategy of a company. So how you're bringing your company further and making plans for that.
Mm-hmm. Where have you grown the most in this entire experience?
Well, I think on many levels. I mean, I think the whole entrepreneurship experience in itself is so, I mean, there's so much to learn, and I am still learning today and as we go forward, because that's something I think you cannot learn in school or cannot learn from I don't know, exams or so, how to run a business, because no day is the same, and you will experience a lot of mental pressure as well, and it's just really hard work. And I think all of that, like running a business but also running and managing people, I mean, that's my most of the learning experience I went through and that I'm still going through. I mean, Emily and I were relatively young, so to be, like, for example, 27 and manage a team of 60 people who are the same age as you or maybe even older, I mean, that's a learning curve, and that's not something you can do right at once.
Mm-hmm. And I know for one of the things that you recommend, actionable items that you recommend for new business owners doing when they're starting out, is just do it and do trial and error and learn by doing. What is your mindset when you get ready to do something that maybe isn't necessarily something that you've ever done before? What are you telling yourself? What is that mental encouragement that you're thinking?
Yeah, I think like just doing it and living by trial and error, that's really the mantra at IMA. We also always say we make it happen always. I mean, don't say no, just say yes and then figure it out. I mean, it sometimes also works against us, obviously, because you can't make magic happen in the end, but it does showcase how we think and sort of what drives us on a daily basis. How I do that on a personal level, I try to see as less obstacles as possible and see the opportunities. And if you believe in something and if you surround yourself with the right people to help you with that, and if you make a good plan and think it all through, you know, then just try it out. And if it doesn't work, you change it and you start something new, but don't be afraid to fail and you know, then try again. I mean, I think that's a good piece of advice that I can give to other listeners. I mean, you will fall eventually one time or many times, but as you do, just fall forward and you know, jump up again.
Yeah. What would you say has been the toughest decision you've had to make thus far?
Um, I think anything to do with people is always really tough, you know, when you have to let people go, or you have to very strict conversations with people who you on a personal level maybe really like, but aren't performing the right way. I think that's something that's always, I mean, it's just, I think that's human, and that will always be really tough.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe also something for women. Women are just emotional in that sense. So I think that's also why there's so many more male managers in this space. I mean, it's sometimes just hard to be super harsh or strict. And I think that's something that that will always stay a bit harder.
Yeah. I mean, to piggyback on that too, it's something that I've thought about as well, is innately maybe our male counterparts default and they don't think about how they're acting. And the result is they just default to a very non-emotional approach, right? And then as for maybe more women, not necessarily all, but I know that if I were to default to the way that a man defaults, I actually have to consciously think about it versus just the way, right? And so sometimes it's just the how produces a certain outcome, and dependent upon if you make that decision on to wanting to do that approach. So yeah, definitely. What, now that you guys have grown to the size that you have grown to, and you're in the New York office, I mean, are there any software tools or systems that you use to be able to communicate with each other on a daily basis?
Yeah, so we do everything to Google Drive, Google Hangouts, Google Keep. I mean, that's really our best friend in the company. And the fact that you can share wherever you are with whomever, I mean, that's super helpful for a company like ours, where we work with people working from different places, working remotely, etc. So that's definitely our go-to.
Mm-hmm. How do you set time to unplug and structure your day? Is there any methodology that helps you really be focused? I know you were talking and sharing a little bit about what your day-to-day looks like, but in terms of structuring and what you say yes to and what you say no to, is there any sort of system that you use?
I try to put blocks in my agenda to actually work and do my emails and, you know, schedule my own day very well. I like to structure it very well and to not be in meetings back to back, because I've did that in the past and that's just draining you at one point, and then you come back at night and then there's still 200 emails waiting for you. So I think blocking time, and also don't be afraid to do a meeting a day later if you have more time and focus, is very important. And also just try to really unplug in the weekends or later at night. I mean, it's when you run your own business, the work never stops. I mean, there's always opportunities and there's always work. So you really have to protect yourself and say, now I'm not going behind my laptop or not reading my emails, because then you're just live by your inbox. So I think that's something super important. And also getting up in the morning, I try to sort of first work out, and then I start my day, and that really gives me some headspace as well.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, let's move into the rapid fire round. And these are meant to be super quick and super fast, and what comes to your mind at first. So what is something in your life that is a non-negotiable?
Just being surrounded by the people I love and having fun in life. I mean, that goes above all success, I think.
Mm-hmm. What is one thing that you get your inspiration from?
100% traveling. So other cultures, other places. I mean, other cities especially. I always get so inspired by that, the people that you see. So traveling, I think, really makes you wiser and gives you so much inspiration.
Where's your favorite place that you've been to so far?
Oh, that's hard. I've done a lot of traveling. So I loved Australia. I mean, the people there are super nice. The nature is beautiful. So I'm really a big fan of that. And then also I really like the Philippines. So like everything Southeast Asia, like Indonesia, Philippines, super beautiful and a lot of inspiration to be found. So I also really like that. And in terms of cities, I mean, I love New York and LA and Hong Kong, you know, all the big, big cities who you, it gives you so much energy, you know, it all happens there. And I think those are good spots to visit if you're in need for some new energy, business or personal wise.
Yeah. What's been one of your favorite books that you've read?
I recently read Sapiens, like the super famous book. I think a lot of people might know, which I thought I wouldn't like because I'm not super into history or so, but this one was really interesting and it really got me. And yeah, I really liked it. And I also really like reading biographies. So from artists or designers. So for example, the biography from Donna Karan, I really liked where she, you get the whole story about how she started and then how she got investors in her company and stuff like that. And that's really nice to read and also nice to relate to as an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite quote that you live by or a mantra that keeps you going?
I like to quote, life is what happens while making other plans. I'm not sure where it is from again, but I once bought this magnet and then I put it on my stove and it's still there. So I think that really explains, like, just go with the flow. And if things go differently, then they do. And if you're asked tomorrow to jump on a plane and live somewhere else and it feels good, you know, just life happens to you. You can't plan too much ahead.
Mm-hmm. And then the best $100 or less purchase one can make in their business.
Yeah, I found it a hard one, but I think something like a big inspiration flipboard or something that whenever you're in your office or sitting in just with one or two people, that that's something where it all starts. You need to start with at the drawing board. So if you have that drawing board, literally, you can just go from there and build your business.
I love that as a creative to be able to get it out and take what's in your head and put it out on piece, like just paper and write it. I love it. Maddie, is there anything else that maybe I didn't touch on that you want to share with my listeners? And then also share where they can find out more information about you and your company as well, please.
Well, they can find more information about the company on our website, of course, which is www.iamagency.com. And then we also have Instagram. iam_agency is the handle of that. We are very active on LinkedIn. We post also a lot of jobs on there, so that might be cool to see. And you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, basically all the channels. Company-wise, but also personal-wise, you can find Emily and myself there. Awesome. So enjoy.
Great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate our conversation and thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. It was really nice.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast episode. For more information, check out shedidherway.com. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I would love for you to leave me a review on iTunes and let me know what you think. Until next time, keep doing it your way.